Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Normal function. In order to then experience an intense spiritual activity. So I quit doing something that is normal to me in order to do something intensely spiritual. Now, I'm not saying that there's something wrong with those normal functions, right? We're not going to quit eating because it's bad habit eating, right? We can have a bad habit of eating the wrong things, but eating is not a bad habit. It's a great habit, because if you don't eat, you die. So it's a normal function that you need. But there are other things that you can fast from, and we're going to talk about that next week. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because really and truly, when you look at the idea of fasting in the Bible, it speaks naturally and ultimately about the giving away of food or drink, okay? They're saying, I'm going to quit drinking water and stuff like that. I'm not talking about liquor necessarily, please. But quit drinking and eating, which sustains my body, so that I may be nourished spiritually for some time, right? Now, that's what we're talking about. And you guys already understand that. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, we're talking Matthew chapter 5 through 7, he talks about fasting in a way that... It's not necessarily something that, what about if you start fasting, or what about if you ever fast, or what if you have this grandiose idea one day in your life that, ooh, I'm going to fast. No, he talks about fasting in the light of when you actually fast, when you do. So he expects us to be fasting, right? Let's look, and when we look at fasting, let's compare it to a couple of things. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, and verse 2. Check this out. So when you give to the poor, when you give, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Okay, so if we look at this verse, just at the beginning phrase, so when you give to the poor, it doesn't say if you give to the poor, it says when you do. So Jesus assumes that the people who he's talking to give to the poor. It's not an if, it's a sure thing. And he talks about the attitude in giving. Oh, by the way, that's one of the spiritual disciplines we're going to be talking about maybe in a couple of weeks. Giving. Don't you get excited when we talk about giving? Okay, don't fall off your pews so hard, okay? Matthew chapter 6, a little bit further. Let's look at verses 5. And it says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. Once again, oh my God. Jesus is like, be careful how you give. Don't be a hypocrite. Be careful how you pray. Don't be a hypocrite. Well, guess what he says about fasting too? Watch out when you fast. Don't be a hypocrite. Man, what was he seeing in these people? What does he see in us? Because I think this works for us too. Wow. But he says, when you pray. So that means you actually do pray, right? So it's not about if you ever pray, but when you pray. But let me ask you something. I know that we give. I know that we pray. But when was the last time you actually fasted? For how long did you fast? With what purpose did you fast? There's some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Let's look a little bit further in chapter 9, right there in Matthew, verses 14 and 15. Check this out. Jesus is... just called Matthew, who is a tax collector. Jesus just called him to be one of his disciples. And then Matthew has a party at his house. So Jesus went to the party. Jesus loved parties, man. He loved partying the right way, okay? Be careful, right? But then he went to the party, and as he was at the party, the disciples of John the Baptist, his disciples came to him asking, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? What's wrong with that? We're over here suffering. We're over here looking all gloomy, and we don't eat. And y'all are just eating and drinking and having a good old time. with your disciples. And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast. Guess what? Jesus has been taken away for them and for us too. He is in heaven. He's not here physically present, so we ought to fast. He says, you will fast. Okay, so there you go. So the time of fasting is now. The time of fasting is now until Jesus comes again, when the bridegroom comes for the second time, right? So, but let's think about kinds of fast. But actually, before I go to the kinds of fast, let's read Matthew chapter 6 and read the part about fasting. We read the part about praying. We read the part about giving. Let's read the part about fasting then. If we go a little bit further down in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, it says, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face and brush your teeth and do all of that. Comb your hair, look good, dress up, look nice, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And usually, if you look at somewhere else, you'll see that God says that what he sees in secret, he'll reward in public. But what he sees in public, he rewards in secret. All right? So be careful with that, right? But let's think about the kinds of fasts. First of all, there's a normal fast, okay? And remember, I'm talking about just food and water here. Next week, we're going to talk about fasting of other things, which I don't want to get ahead of myself. Normal fast. Let's talk about a normal fast. This is when you abstain from some foods, abstain from all foods, but not from water. You still drink water, right? I remember last week we did a fast with the leadership, and we spent the morning fasting, and I was so thirsty. And I said, well, you know, this is just a normal fast. I can drink water. And my wife looked at me and said, is it normal? Is it really normal? Come on, you can't be without water for 3 hours? Oh, my God, I felt like Jesus with his disciples. I was like, psh, psh, psh. Been smacked. And she's like, you don't see anybody else drinking water, right, in the group? And I'm like, all right, take it easy. Tell you what, I won't drink water for 3 hours. And I'm like, but, and then in my head, I started thinking, well, I got to sing. I got to preach. I spent all morning from like 9 o'clock in the morning all the way through 1 o'clock in the afternoon just yappity, 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 yap. Man, my throat gets dry. And you don't drink water when it's dry. You drink water ahead of time so it doesn't get dry. Did you know that? It is recommended for speakers and preachers that you start drinking water at least 5 hours before you start speaking. And guess what? From 4:30 in the morning all the way through when I come here, I probably drank already 4 bottles of water. I do that every Sunday. And still, I'm afraid that my throat's going to go dry. And it does. So it's one of those things. But let me just get off my soapbox here. So we're talking about, like in Matthew, in chapter 4, verse 2. Remember Jesus? When Jesus was being tempted, and Jesus said that he was hungry. It doesn't say he was thirsty. It doesn't say he was thirsty, but Matthew chapter 4, it says that after 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. It doesn't say hungry and thirsty. Can you imagine? Okay, so he was hungry. Maybe because he was drinking some type of water out there. Maybe not. He could have been not, but it seems that by what the word discloses to us, he was only without food, okay? It is said that after 3 days without water, the body starts to deteriorate pretty rapidly. You become dehydrated in an adverse and difficult and even unhealthy way that could cause death, right? So can you imagine? So he was fasting from food, but you can still drink water and stuff like that, or tea or juice. It's okay. All right. That's a normal fast. What about a partial fast? And you abstain from some foods and not from water either, like Daniel. Have you heard about the Daniel fast out there? It's actually not a fast. It's a diet. People are using it. It's a fast. No, it is not. It's a diet. And let me tell you, if you're just doing it to lose weight, that's the wrong motive to fast. But I'm already getting too fast into the material. Okay, so just think about that. If you're going to fast, make it a spiritual purpose, not just a physical purpose. Well, there may be some spiritual involved, like saying, okay, God, I'm going to fast because I need to discipline. Whoa, I'm not going in there until you guys, everybody, the whole people, the whole nation of Israel living in this place, start praying and fasting for me, because I'm risking my life. I'm about to go in there and I might die. So she proclaimed an absolute fast of 3 days, 3 day fast. Some of us can fast for 3 minutes. Absolutely. Yeah. An absolute fast of 3 minutes. Some of us 3 hours. Some of us 3 meals. And man, that carries a lot of weight. Talk about 3 days. Absolute fast. Acts chapter 9 and verse 9. Also, Paul, when he was converted in Damascus, he became blind. Remember? There was like scales in his eyes. He couldn't see. He had to be taken everywhere he went for those 3 days. But he was there 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. So he was fasting also. Also, there's a supernatural fast. This is a fast when you have been abstaining from food and water for a long period that can only be explained by a supernatural intervention. We see a couple of them in the Bible. In Deuteronomy, we see Moses going up to the mountain when he met God. And he was up there for 40 days, 40 nights. No food, and you can see at the end of the verse, it says, I neither ate bread nor drank water. And these are 40 days that he spent out there. No food, no water. That's supernatural right there. Now, Elijah, a little bit later, well, a few years later, he went to Mount Horeb. Guess what? Mount Horeb is the same mountain that Moses went, Mount Sinai. It's the same thing. They're just two different names for it. But Elijah went up to that mountain also, and when he went to Mount Horeb, he also was without food for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so he arose and he ate and drank after he had been for 40 days having nothing. So those are some kinds of fasts. Let me give you three more real quick. One is a private fast. This is one that no one knows about when you're fasting, and sometimes you can do that. And that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, when he's saying, when you fast, don't let people, don't let it show. Don't go out there looking all like, people like, what's wrong with you? I'm fasting. You know? Oh, man, this fast is just too much, man. Oh, you were fasting? I didn't know. I'm going to lunch. See ya. All right? And you leave them alone. Right, when they say that. Well, there's also congregational fasting, you know, all together, all of us together. We can do that. Joel chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16 mentions that there is a fast going on. It says, blow a trumpet in Zion. Zion is what? Jerusalem. Okay? Blow the trumpet in Jerusalem. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. You see, all together as a congregation. Sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Check that out. No milk for the babies. Let the bridegroom come out of his room and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Wow. Wow. Everyone, including babies. Can you imagine a bunch of babies with no milk? Wah. 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 I don't know if I could take that. I don't know if I could take that. But anyway, let's talk about another one. Occasional fast. This is just as the need arises. If you have a need, if something's going on, something difficult, you know, prayer and fasting. And of course, if there's a demon around, you can pray and fast. Jesus said, you know, there's some demons, they won't come out unless you pray and fast. So just be careful. Just be careful. All right. So when a need arises, you just fast and pray. All right. Those are some kinds of fasts that you can practice. Now, in the passage that I just gave you, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, when Jesus tells the disciples about fasting and being careful, not being gloomy-faced and everything, he gives them two commands and he gives them a promise. Let's talk about that for a second. First, he gives them a negative command. Two commands. One is negative. A negative command. He says, do not be a hypocrite. He said it a few times, right? Don't be a hypocrite. Who is a hypocrite? It's a person who presents one face and then another, right? A two-faced person, one who wears a mask. That's a hypocrite. One who wears a mask so people would think one thing, but he's not that thing. So don't put him a gloomy face, you know. Don't look so somber, you know, all disfigured because you're fasting and so hungry. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Go, like I said, go wash your face, you know, put on some lotion and brush your teeth, dress well, comb that hair. Nobody needs to know that you're fasting. And if you do this, you won't be a hypocrite. But if you do, then you will. Now, don't be so miserable and going out there, you know, so that people will lament on you or the people have pity on you. Now, but you know what? There's also I've done this before, okay? This is to encourage one another. For example, if I remember one time, and I've only done it, I think, and that's when you see the blessing of God come upon you. You see, it's curious, one thing, that Jesus never left instructions about how many times a year or how many times a month or how many times a week we should be fasting. Fasting is a privilege. See, we need to see it as a privilege or an opportunity to seek God intensely and His grace that is always available for all of us. So, how long do you fast, or when do you fast, or how many times should you fast? That's a decision that you need to make wholeheartedly, deep down in your heart, with the direction or guidance of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? All right. So now, let's think about a few purposes why we should fast. Let's talk about some purposes. And the first one is to strengthen our prayers. We ought to be fasting because we want our prayers to be strengthened. Okay? If you don't have a spiritual purpose, like I said, behind fasting, then don't do it. Don't do it. That's not good. That's not good. And I remember the longest fast I've done is 2 whole weeks like that. I lost 21 pounds. But guess what? I gained them back. So if you try to do that as a diet, you will be fasting a lot more often than that. Okay, so be careful. You think about, I was reading a story of a pastor that was talking about fasting, and this good man at the church decided, you know what, I've never fasted, I'm going to do this. And he just told his wife, and the next morning he got up, he prayed, he got on his knees and said, Lord, I'm here, I'm not going to take anything today because I'm going to depend solely on you. And this is it. This is my first time, and I know I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm going to enjoy it. This is going to be good. And right, you know, there goes Mama making the coffee. And he's like, while he's praying, he's like, whoa, that smell of coffee, that smells good. Yeah, but I promise I wasn't going to do anything whatsoever today, a whole day without eating or drinking. Here comes Mama with a cup of coffee walking by. You're going to fast today, right, honey? Yeah. Okay, see you later. Hope it goes good. I'm going to be praying for you. And then later he sees the kids having breakfast, and he started having these little churnings, you know, in his, you know, when the tummy speaks to you and it speaks so loud that everybody else can hear it, you know, those moments. And he said, no, he just praying. Then he went to work, and in the coffee break, everybody's having a donut. He's just, now growling inside, but his smile is just from, you know, ear to ear. Oh, it's all good. God is awesome. And lunch comes by and dinner, and he sees everybody sitting at the table. He has no choice but to go in the room and lock himself up. Oh, my God, he's just not taking it well. He can't even go to bed to sleep that night. And he waits till midnight, and at 12:01, bam, he makes himself a sandwich. Did it. And then he realizes, what purpose did I really, really, really accomplish with this? So you think about that, right? A fasting without purpose is just not good. Because you can't impress God enough, right? You can't impress God enough. There's nothing that's going to impress Him. The only impression in God's heart is that His Son went to a cross for sinners like you and me. That's a great impression right there. And you don't have to do this to be accepted by God. God accepts you the way you are, even if you never fast in life. But don't take that as a whoosh, I'm free, I'll never have to do it. I'm accepted by God. I'm in Christ, so it's all good. No, we ought to take time to practice it. But let's look at some of the purposes. Number one, to strengthen our prayers, like I said, in Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 and 23. Here's Ezra going with the people, and they're going from Babylon all the way to Jerusalem to rebuild. Remember, Nehemiah took a group, Ezra took a group, and they, it says, then I proclaim the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and our possessions. Let's read all the way through 23. For I was ashamed to request from the king's troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way, because we had said to the king, the hand of our God is favorably disposed to all of those who seek him, but his power and his anger are against all of those who forsake him. So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty. So you think about it. They were strengthening their prayers through the fasting. You see, and there are certain urgencies that might happen in your life and in your family and in your groups, in your small group life, or in the life of the church, that sometimes we need to do some fasting to eliminate maybe some of the distractions in our prayers. And that's what I'm talking. You got to be careful. It's not like a hunger strike, okay? People go on a hunger strike and they're like, I'm not going to eat until you give me what I want, right? No, that's not about what it is about. You don't go on a hunger strike with God, you'll really go hungry. He don't play that, right? He does not play that kind of games. So it's not about that. It's about strengthening our own prayers and whatever issue we're praying for. And because it doesn't matter how much you fast. If you're asking for something that is outside of the will of God, do you think he's going to give it to you? I don't think so. I don't think that kind of God he is, just because, okay, he fasted, that's not my will, but I'll give it to him. No, God does not do that. He only works with his good and perfect will over your life and mine. Always take that into account. So don't try to use fast as a means to twist God's arm into something that you want, right? Now, you think about it. God is not like us. God is not like you and me. Sometimes we parents, you know, like when you have a kid that throws a tantrum and he starts screaming and yelling and kicking on the floor and just, I want the telephone. And they want the phone because they want to play with it, or they want a toy, they want something, or they want something. And all of a sudden you go like, you know what? Here, have it. I don't want to hear you. Gosh, shut up. Enough of that. Go play in your room. You're punished. Right? God is not like that. You know, you can kick and scream and yell. You can do whatever you want. God doesn't work that way. So it's the idea of seeking him honestly from the heart with a divine purpose. It's like prayer has a secret weapon, and it's fasting. But yet, it's sitting in the weapons cabinet, locked up and full of dust. So it's time we start using it. Now, how many of you know the joy of having a best friend? What does a best friend do? Look at AJ Wynn. Yeah, he's got a good friend. So what does a good friend do? He strengthens you, right? Well, think of fasting as the best friend of prayers. Fasting will strengthen your prayers, all right? Number two, another thing is to seek God's guidance. That's another reason to fast, to seek God's guidance. In the book of Judges in chapter 20, verses 26 and 28, they were seeking the discernment. They wanted to know what the will of God was. What was happening is that you had the tribes, 11 tribes of Israel against one tribe, the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin had done really, 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 really bad stuff. They really sinned. So the other 11 tribes decided, we need to go against them and conquer them. So they tried. And when the 11 tribes, which actually outnumbered the tribe of Benjamin like more than 15 to 1 with their army, they went after them. And check it out. In verse 26, let's read a little bit about here. Then all the sons of Israel and all the people went up and came to Bethel and wept. Thus they remained there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. Now check it out. The sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the ark of the covenant of God was there in those days. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, Aaron's son, stood before it to minister in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the sons of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hands. Now, I only read the last portion of this chapter, but you have to understand what's going on here. Here, the 11 tribes of Israel go against the tribe of Benjamin, which is one of the smallest, with a great army. Guess what? They got defeated, and they lost 22,000 soldiers that day. So they went back to God, and they wept, and they fasted, and they said, oh, my God, what do we do? Right? And they were all crazy and having a really hard time. Actually, they were actually praying and weeping, not fasting, just praying and weeping. And they went out to battle again. And when they went out to battle, they lost another 18,000 or so. They lost about 40,000 soldiers in two quick battles against a lot smaller tribe between all 11 of them. That's when they said, you know what? We need to fast. We need to inquire God about His will, and we need to fast. And when they did fast, then God said, now go back to the battle. You got it. Tomorrow you'll be winning. No problem. So it was when they went out with prayer and weeping and fasting that they actually were able to conquer. And God answered their prayers. So now I want you to understand, though. I don't want you to think that then if you fast, you are guaranteed to get the answer to your prayer and to get the guidance that you need. No, you practice it from the bottom of your heart, and you place yourself in a position where God can communicate what He wants, and you'll be guided by Him. But when you fast, you may become more receptive in your position. But that doesn't mean that you're actually going to get your answer, so be careful with that. Now, also to express grief. That's one of the things that we normally and naturally do. You lose a loved one, most likely. If it's a very close loved one, you don't want to eat, right? That's one of the fights that we have in our families when we lose a loved one. And they're like, you have to eat, you have to eat, you have to eat. Well, guess what? Not eating could be part of an expression of grief. But you just have to care for them also. You just don't want them to not eat and get sick. But it could be expressively a form of grieving that could be done according to the Word of God. Okay, so we just have to be careful. In Judges, 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 13, here are the soldiers of Saul. They were sad because Saul had been killed. His sons had been killed. No more king, no more prince. So they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. They were grieving, so they fasted for 7 days. Even later, when David found out about it, and you look at 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 11, David finds out about it. Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and so also did all the men who were with him, and they also started fasting. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his sons. Okay, so that's part of a grieving process. And you can actually fast when you are at a loss and in grief. All right? So when you weep and you lament and you mourn and you do that wholeheartedly, you can express it also in a matter of fasting. Also, to seek deliverance and protection. To seek deliverance and protection. The people of God did it. We can do that. Seeking deliverance and seeking protection from the enemy. In Psalm 109 and verse 24, David speaks of this. My knees are weak from fasting, and my flesh has grown lean without fatness. And this is David saying, you know what? I've become really skinny. I've lost a lot of weight. Before and after picture, you know? And he's saying, I am really weak right now. And the reason why he was fasting is because the enemies wanted to come against him. They were all just simply pushing him and trying to get him, trying to find him, trying to kill him. So he was under the oppression of the enemies and all at war spiritually and physically. So one of the most common reasons in the Bible that we see when people are fasting is about deliverance. It's about being protected. It's about enemies or whatever circumstances you find yourself into. And a few minutes ago, we had seen Ezra when he had called the people and said, you know, we need to fast. And when you see the end of his prayer, I talked about strengthening their prayers through fasting, but the ultimate goal of Ezra's fast was to seek protection, because on their way from Babylon all the way through Jerusalem, they were going to find a lot of enemies of Israel, and they were going to have to face them. And a lot of places they had to walk through, they were inhabited by the enemy. So he was looking for deliverance and protection through those things. He even said, you know what? I didn't even ask for an army from the king in Babylon. He would have given it to me. You see, King Xerxes wanted to help them. And he said, I could have asked the king for horsemen and all of these people to protect us, but I didn't, because I told him that our mighty God and his powerful arm will be for us. So I'm not going back over there asking for an army. I'm just going to go fast and pray for God's deliverance and protection. So when you find yourself in whatever situation that you need deliverance or protection, you can fast. This is one of the ways that the enemy traps us and really hurts us is through sin, right? Sin, temptation. And when we fall into the prey of sin in our lives, in whatever area, we just don't fulfill. We just don't behave like the holy nation, the holy people, saints, like true saints, who that, right? Like true saints of God. We just don't behave like that. We fall into the prey of sin, and we get into problems, and we start experiencing a lot of defeats because of sin. So one of the ways, think about it, that God used to discipline his people was through enemies, through other nations coming against them. A lot of times God allowed them to go and be captive for many, many years. And sometimes God just allowed another group of people to come over and just go through their land and take it all and just do whatever against them. And that was part of God's judgment on his own people for their sin. And here is David praying, you know, I don't want to fall prey to my sin. I don't want to fall prey to my enemies. I don't want to fall into temptation, but I don't want to fall against or before and my enemies. So he is fasting and praying. Now, and you see, a lot of times when we face enemies in our lives, and when we face people who condemn us like David did, maybe you're facing a cousin or an aunt or a brother or a sister or a family member or a friend or somebody who's always attacking you because you're a Christian or whatever. What do? Sometimes we get into these dumb arguments with them, and we become like them, and we start using their own weapons against them. Well, David wasn't using those weapons against his enemies. He wasn't talking about them and talking bad about them and trying to gossip or trying to go yell at them and scream at them or call them this or call them that. David said, you know what, I'll just fast. He was fasting until his knees were shaking and his body was really, really weak. So what are the tactics of the enemy? All that fighting and quarreling and gossip and all that, we don't do that. You got a problem with somebody and you really want to go out there and wring their neck, bend your knees, fast and pray for them
and for yourself,
right? So that you won't fall prey. So that's what we need to do. That's our deliverance and our protection. And last but not least, we're going to stop here today. To express repentance and return to God. Okay, to express repentance and return to God. This is what happened to Jonah. Remember Jonah, the guy in the whale, you know, in the belly of the whale? He prayed and God, you know, had or the big fish. We call it whale because we call big fishes whale, right? So he, you know, the fish just spits him out and he's out. And now he's going to be obedient to God, right? And God tells him, I want you to go preach to the Ninevites so that they can experience deliverance. And what did he do? I don't want them to be saved. I don't like Ninevites. He got really upset at God. He was mad. He actually wanted to die. He came to him, I'd rather die. That was so dumb. And then God says, you know what? You're going to go preach to them. That's what you're going to do. And he started like, no, until finally
He said, okay, I'll go do that. Finally, he was grudgingly preaching to the Ninevites, right? Look at chapter 3 of Jonah in verses 5 through 8. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? I went and preached to them, and they actually believed. Hate them. And they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. These are the Ninevites, the people whom Jonah disliked. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on ashes. Oh, wow. Check it out. Let's keep going. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. Proclaimed a fast. And he just got saved. Wow. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hand. You see that? The reason that the king proclaimed this fast was for repentance. Turn from wicked ways. Now, can you think of any wicked thing in your life that you need to turn from? Maybe you need to fast. Don't say it out loud. I don't want to hear it. Well, you weren't going to say it anyway, right? But I'm just saying, this is one of those things. So when you think about it, repentance and return to God. Just like when you express pain for a loss in your life or in grief, but also for repentance. Okay, repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. Have you ever said that to anyone? Well, I had a change of mind. Well, that's exactly what repentance means in the Bible, a change of mind. But a change of mind then requires a change in action, right? That's why he says, turn from your wicked ways and all of that sin. You know, turn away from them. You act differently. So what we're talking about here is that fasting can help you turn from something that you haven't been able to conquer in your life, maybe through prayer. Maybe you're like me. There are some things in my life that I'm like, God, when am I going to quit doing this? Gosh, why do I keep doing it? And maybe God is saying, well, start fasting. No, I want donuts. Gosh, it's one of those things, right? I just don't want to go there. So fasting would be a way to repent. Also, it can be included into repentance to help you come back to God in whatever way. And the Israelites did that. They expressed repentance through fasting. When you look at 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 6. Can you show me that one? 1 Samuel 7, 6. They gathered to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the sons of Israel at Mizpah. Now, so they stopped eating and they said, we repent. How about Joel chapter 2 and verse 12? This is God talking to them. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart and with fasting, weeping and mourning. See, God is commanding them. Now, you want to turn to me? You need to do it with fasting, weeping, and mourning. That's something else. And then, of course, we saw what happened to Jonah. How important it is to God that we deal with our sin, that we deal with our wicked ways, that we deal with what's wrong in our lives, and that we repent and come back to obedience. And you know what? If you weep and you fast and you pray and you mourn wholeheartedly, from the depths of our soul, God will then show us his mercy. You know what mercy means? I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to hold back on punishing you. I will discipline you, but I will not punish you. That's a big difference. And not only I will be merciful on you, I will also be graceful, which means I'll give you something you don't deserve. I'll give you forgiveness. So yes, come before God, repenting by weeping, mourning, praying, and fasting. And God, through Christ Jesus, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all of our sin.
and will restore us to the joy of the salvation and eternal life he has granted us through the sacrifice of Christ. And we will enjoy that by the side of our Heavenly Father forevermore. So go ahead, pray, mourn, weep, fast, and God will respond.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.